Hello, welcome to The Law Report. Damien Carrick with you. Today, drones. We all know they produce fantastic footage.
Show the world in a way that simply blows the mind. We will get you hanging from a rope in the mouth of the cave. We will have a camera suspended by 8 rotor blades hanging in front of you as you describe the cave. It's a drone. They call it an octocopter.
But what are the privacy and safety implications of having remotely controlled objects flying across our backyards? Until last Monday evening, Darwin resident Carly Hyatt had never given drones a second thought.
I was just finished at the gym, actually, and I'd come home and decided to go for a bit of a swim between 7:30 and 8. As I was swimming, I could hear this strange noise, and when I looked up, I noticed a drone with green and red flashing lights. It sort of came over into my backyard and then just hovered centre above the pool and just hovered there for about 30 to 60 seconds.
Now, you're in your backyard swimming pool. You were nude, right?
Yes, I was. It's 28 degrees that time of night up here and still quite humid. Yeah, I'd just come from the gym. It was really hot. So instead of bothering going into the house and putting bikinis on, I just grabbed a towel, stripped off and jumped in.
You're in the nud and you realise that there's a drone above you. What was your response?
My response was shock. It just sort of probably even took me a second to register that whoever was navigating it must have been looking at me in the pool, and it was just very centre, just hovering right there with a green and red flashing light.
Which presumably sort of indicate that there are cameras operational, yeah.
Unfortunately. It was a really bewildering experience. Just sort of stayed in the deep end and looked at it and sort of covered myself up a little bit. Yeah, then eventually it just buzzed away.
What are your concerns?
Oh, look, I would say it's definitely an invasion of privacy. I think, you know, images going onto social media, even just someone that could be a bit creepy or a bit of a perv, and it also opens up issues for illegal activity, I suppose, as well. People looking in your backyard at what property you may have.
And I take it you have absolutely no idea who the drone belongs to or what where it came from?
No.
What did it look like and how big is it? I mean, was it, the size of a pizza box? How big was it?
Yeah, roughly that size, I would say. I actually heard it before I seen it. I heard the buzzing sound coming in from the left. And so I obviously got quite a good look at it while it was hovering above the pool. And circular, it was really dark, so I could only just make out the circular, propeller on it and just the green and red flashing lights. So
what did you do? Did you call the police or alert any other authorities?
No, I didn't. At this stage, I'm not really sure what the appropriate response would be.
Do you have any sense of what your legal rights are and what the legal responsibilities are of people who own drones?
No, I mean, all I've really heard about drones is that they're not allowed to go up at a certain height if you're within a flight zone area. Aside from that, I really don't know.
Since the incident happened, I understand you've been doing a little bit of online research. What have you seen or read?
There are night vision drones, which was a bit concerning, but I don't feel as though the quality would have been anything for me to be overly concerned about. And I do see that online there seems to be a bit of an attitude where it's funny to get people agitated by invading their privacy. I did notice it was portrayed to be funny of a woman that became very frustrated by a drone and she was trying to shoo it away. It was, you know, hovering on her property, looking onto her balcony, and she was shooing it and getting really frustrated and angry, and then actually walked into her home and came out with a rifle, and then that's when the drone flew away. And I suppose the overall attitude that I seemed to gauge from the comments and the way that it was even put through was as though it was humorous how frustrated she was. And it's only now that I've had this experience in hindsight, it's really not that funny.
Was that footage from the USA?
Yes, yep.
Darwin resident Carly Hyatt. Law Professor Des Butler is based at the Queensland University of Technology. He says our privacy protection framework has not kept pace with technological change, especially given the rapid expansion in the number of drones now being sold in Australia.
It's commonplace now to walk into a store like JB Hi-Fi or Harvey Norman, and alongside the refrigerators and the the DVDs, there are now racks with these drones with cameras mounted on them. Retail for as little as, less than $200 in some cases, and have very clear video streaming capabilities to mobile devices like tablets.
And do we know what are the most popular models?
I understand that there's a model known as a Parrot that is very popular. You know, we can expect to see many more of these flying in our skies before too long.
Now, I've been speaking with a lady called Carly Hyatt from Darwin, who says a drone appeared over her pool while she was skinny dipping in the privacy of her back garden in the early evening. Assuming she could track down the owner of the drone, which is a big if, what would be her legal options?
Well, it all depends on what jurisdiction someone happens to be in. Quite frankly, our privacy laws in Australia are a bit of a mess when it comes to someone who's had their privacy invaded trying to take legal action. And as you say, the big if here is if you can track down who is operating the drone or who owns the drone. Our common laws are wholly deficient in providing any sort of meaningful remedy for someone in that kind of position. Very different from overseas, where the only major common law country that in fact doesn't have laws that protect personal privacy.
You're talking there about a statutory or a common law action where you could sue for a breach of privacy, but that's only going to be useful if you're kind of a really rich person and you have a lot of resources and maybe you're a celebrity and you're talking about paparazzi here. What about more kind of standard laws around surveillance? Do we have a framework along those lines?
A number of jurisdictions, 5 in fact around Australia, that have laws concerning surveillance devices and that would apply to visual or optical surveillance devices. Unfortunately, of those 5, they don't take a consistent approach. So we've got 3 states, South Australia, Western Australia and the Northern Territory, that have similar laws, and they're probably the ones that are best suited to prohibiting the use of drones to invade someone's privacy. The laws in Victoria and New South Wales have problems with them. Victoria, for example, prohibits the use of an optical surveillance device to record private activities, but they don't apply for anything happening outside of a building. So if someone was sunbathing in their backyard and a camera-mounted drone was flown over, it would not breach those laws. In New South Wales, their whole regime is based on prohibiting leaving surveillance devices on somebody's property without their consent. So that's not going to have any application to a camera-mounted drone. In the other places, Queensland, the ACT and Tasmania, their surveillance devices legislation are stuck in an age that is decades, or a technological age that's decades old. They're only directed towards audio surveillance devices. So it's a very efficient regime as a whole that we're facing. Even if you've got these laws prohibiting the use of these devices, there's just no remedy that's given to the person who's had their privacy invaded, and so you've got to count on the authorities wanting to take action under those statutes.
And do you know, have there been any such actions?
Not to my knowledge.
Professor Des Butler from the Queensland University of Technology. The big fear is that untrackable drones will beam images back to their operator and will never know how they are used or by whom. Back in 2014, a House of Representatives committee produced a report titled Eyes in the Sky, which looked at air safety and privacy issues around drones. And currently there's a Senate committee conducting another inquiry, this one focusing on the safety of commercial drones. Brendan Dougherty is a senior lecturer at the University of Tasmania Law School. He's followed the debates around how best to regulate drones. He says Darwin's Carly Hyatt isn't the first person who was enjoying the privacy of their backyard who then faced an intrusion by a drone. There was a case on Victoria's Mornington Peninsula a couple of years ago.
A person was sunbathing in their backyard without their top on, assuming that they were in a private space, and a drone flew overhead, and the drone was very innocently being flown by a real estate agent who was filming the property next door, and in taking photos of the property next door, unintentionally captured this lady who was in her backyard and didn't review the photographs properly. So as a consequence, the photos went up on a sales board, a huge sales board out the front of the house. And when the neighbour walked past, she saw herself photographed there. And luckily, the real estate agent of their own volition took that sign down. But it shows you that not only can you have intentional surveillance, quite often you can be unintentionally surveilled by these sort of airborne cameras.
So the real estate agent took it down. There wasn't, as far as we know, any legal proceedings arising out of it?
I'm not aware that there was. And I think, in fairness to the real estate agent, they acted very quickly and in good faith. But it might not always be the case that that happens.
Eyes in the Sky was the title of a parliamentary inquiry from a few years back, which was looking at this emerging area of drones and privacy. Well, what conclusions or recommendations did that inquiry come to?
They were really concerned, the Commonwealth House of Representatives, about the potential for drones to intrude on a person's private space, their business activities, either intentionally or inadvertently, and that was quite, as I said, quite fortuitous given what happened with the real estate photo shortly after. They recommended primarily that we follow an earlier recommendation by the Australian Law Reform Commission that we bring in what's called a tort of privacy, and we should create a tort of serious invasion of privacy. Also recommended that the states, and I think this was of a massive concern in terms of domestic violence and some of the problems around stalking, they recommended that through the COAG, through the Cooperative State and Commonwealth meeting, that the states and Commonwealth sat down together and worked out their criminal laws around surveillance devices. And so the committee was quite concerned about this notion that you could follow someone back to their home, you could watch them in their home, and you can imagine some of the problems that would arise in situations of domestic violence or spousal abuse. So they made a strong recommendation around that.
What do you see as the competing interests when it comes to the restrictions we should have around the use of drones on the one hand, and the uses and the great advantages that drones offer us?
Oh, look, they're amazing, aren't they? Look, I've got to be honest, I would love to own a drone. I quite like photography, I quite like going bush, and I'd love to take one with me. But like anything, it needs to be balanced. There's also some really positive uses of drones, depending on where you're coming from. I mean, you real estate agents obviously can use them to make amazing photos of properties. We can film weddings. We can do things like some of the new drones can track people as they go downhill on mountain bikes. Really exciting stuff. There's other areas which is much more controversial. I mean, animal liberation activists have been using them to surveil properties that have slaughterhouses on them. And, of course, the farmer and graziers lobby is very concerned about some of the implications of that. But, of course, the animal liberationists argue, well, without surveillance, a lot of bad activity would go on. So some of the time, these devices can be used by citizen activists in a way that may raise profiles and may give them access to areas they may not previously have had. And we need to be cognizant of that and think about freedom of speech and the right of the public to know certain information. So I don't think that we should be prohibiting drones at all, but we do need to have a mature conversation about what's acceptable and what's not, and actually have remedies, really working remedies for the public, people like Carly, who feel like their privacy has been invaded, to actually stop this activity. I think, kind of like the old PlayStations, we should probably require all drones sold in Australia to have a tracking chip in them and have the data either stored on the device or uploaded to the cloud. So that way, if there is a complaint like Carly's, you know, the problem with the complaint with Carly is she, you know, who does she complain about? She can't find the guy. He's unlikely to be on her property, so there's no trespass. So much better would be as if all this data is on the cloud and the police can just go look and see who's been flying a drone in that area and then go investigate them. That makes practical sense. But at the moment, it's a free-for-all. Everyone's basically passing the buck.
Brendan Gogarty from the University of Tasmania Law School. You're listening to The Law Report on radio or via a podcast, which is available from the RN website and on iTunes. When it comes to drones, there is no specific framework to deal with privacy issues raised by these eyes in the sky. There is, however, a specific comprehensive framework dealing with the safe operating of drones. So if authorities were able to identify the owner of Callie's airborne intruder, it's quite likely that he, possibly she, is breaching those safety rules. Peter Gibson is spokesperson for the Civil Aviation Safety Authority, or CASA.
The Civil Aviation Safety Regulations, as part 101 of those regulations, sets out the rules for safe flying of drones. And it says things like, don't fly closer than 30 metres to people or property. If you're flying in controlled airspace, stay under 400 feet so you're not risking colliding with aircraft. It says don't fly your drone on the approach and departure paths of airports. Now, those regulations do have attached to them Commonwealth penalty units, which interpret into infringement notices, which the Civil Aviation Safety Authority can and does issue. Not a huge number of them each year, but we do issue them. Recently, one for flying a drone in restricted airspace over Sydney Harbour. One of those fines was issued for $540. Earlier this year, we issued a $900 fine to a gentleman who was flying his drone close to the New South Wales Police helicopter and causing a risk to that helicopter. And, of course, last year there was the famous or infamous Bunnings drone video, which got a lot of attraction on social and other media, where a drone was flown within 30 metres of people, and we issued a $900 fine to the gentleman who flew that drone.
Was that something to do with the sausage sizzle?
What the gentleman did along with his friends is attach a bit of string to the drone with some money in it in a container, fly that across the suburb to the Bunnings car park where there was the usual Saturday morning sausage sizzle, flew down the drone down, the people at Sausage Sizzle took money out, put a sausage and bread onto the drone, and the drone flew back to the gentleman's property where he received his sausage. Now, the problem there was that naturally when the drone was lowered down in the Bunnings car park, there were plenty of people within 30 metres of that drone. If something had gone wrong with the drone, or there'd been a big gust of wind and that drone had hit somebody, almost certainly they would have been injured. Hence the fine.
Cute but dangerous.
Absolutely, that's right. Now, I think that's what people have got to bear in mind when they're flying a drone. There are some responsibilities that come with it. They're really fun, that's great. And we're not trying to stop people having fun with their drones, but the rules are there just to protect people, property and aircraft from drones. And they're pretty straightforward and simple rules. If you follow them, you won't get into trouble.
Have there been, as far as you know, any injuries sustained by Australians as a result of accidents involving drones?
The only one I'm aware of so far was a number of years ago now at Geraldton in Western Australia, where there was a marathon race and someone was using a drone to film the finish line at the marathon race. And what happened was that the timing equipment being used for the race, the radio signals involved in that timing equipment, interfered with the radio signals of the drone, and the drone flew out of control and hit a woman on the back of her head and indeed cut her head. So that's certainly one injury that we're aware of, not any others in Australia. There certainly have been reports of a child in Great Britain losing an eye and others other similar things around the world.
In that case in Geraldton and in the case in the UK, were there prosecutions?
In the case of Geraldton, the Civil Aviation Safety Authority did put together a brief of evidence on it with the view to seeking a prosecution, but ultimately that didn't go forward. So there was a fine involved, an infringement notice involved, but no prosecution.
Now, if a drone comes over your land, say you're Kylie Hyatt and you have a rock handy, or if you you have a gun handy, maybe you're on a farm, can you shoot down or knock down the drone?
That's strictly not something that our regulations talk about, but I think people have got to be mindful of the fact that there may be other laws in place that protect people's property that could come into play. So I think before you took things into your own hands to shoot down or knock down a drone, you'd be well advised to seek some advice on what the consequences of that might be. I certainly am aware of one case where a drone was shot. It was over a rural property and it was shot down, and the person who did the shooting was subsequently got a visit from the local police suggesting that perhaps compensation to the drone owner might be necessary if the matter wasn't to go further forward. So I don't know what transpired finally in that case, but certainly there's a real life example of the issues that could arise if you do take the law into your own hands.
And what would be the legal situation if the drone was within 30 metres of you?
If you believe that the drone operator is breaching any of the safety rules, then yes, absolutely, that's reported to us and we can investigate and, if appropriate, issue an infringement notice. So yes, we certainly can act if there has been a breach of our rules and naturally if we can prove that breach.
The big problem is, how do you identify who's owning and operating the drone? That's Carly Hyatt's problem. She has no idea. And presumably that would be the case most of the time.
Yes, well, that's exactly right. And it is a difficulty and we acknowledge that.
Brendan Gogarty, who's a legal expert at the University of Tasmania, has suggested that maybe, well, we should have all drones registered, not just commercial drones. And then there should also be an obligation to kind of upload any kind of footage. It wouldn't kind of put pressure on the regulators like you, but it would give the resources to the police to then pursue any potential breaches.
Well, certainly the Americans have moved to a registration system for all their drones, and we've been watching how that's been progressing and how that's benefiting them. Of course, the thing with a registration system would be, though, you would have to have some way of being able to visibly identify the registration marking, whatever that might be, on the drone. Now, the problem here is these things are very small, of course, and even if it was in reasonable size writing, nevertheless, if the drone was 20 metres away from you and it's a very small drone, it might still be very difficult to read them. So
you couldn't have some kind of electronic chip which would track the movements of them?
Well, you can. I mean, yes, that technology exists, but then the cost of setting that system up and monitoring it, and of course going through the, you know, someone's got to go through that data and look to see if there are breaches, or do you only use it when complaints are made? I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities, but depending on what you want to do, the more complex and more costly it's going to be.
There's currently a Senate inquiry, I believe, looking at issues around safety and the use of drones. I understand in September last year there was a liberalisation of the rules around the commercial use of drones. As I understand it, if a drone weighs less than 2 kilos, the rules have been simplified. You no longer need a certificate or licence. All you have to do is register with CASA 5 days before the first flight. Some politicians have been very critical of this. People like Queensland Senator Barry Sullivan and Senator Nick Xenophon have said that they fear, well, Barry Sullivan has said that he fears a catastrophic accident is possible if measures to govern the use of drones less than 2 kilos are not considered immediately. What's your response to those assertions?
Well, as a government agency, naturally, we can't get into a political debate. That's for the politicians to have about what the relevant laws should be, and indeed for the public to debate that as well. Naturally, as the regulator, we will work with whatever safety regulations the Parliament and the community believe are best. What we've tried to do in changing the regulations for very small commercial drones was to just cut some red tape out. We looked at the risks from very small commercial drones and we calculated that they are lower than for larger commercial drones, and therefore we felt it was appropriate to have a different regulatory approach to the very small commercial drones, one which involved less cost and less red tape.
South Australian Senator Nick Xenophon and Brisbane lawyer Joseph Wheeler, they say, look, we need tighter regulation. They point out that you can't buy a mobile in Australia without providing your driver's licence or ID, but can operate these potentially very dangerous and very intrusive drones. You know, it could be a 12-year-old, it could be a teenager, it could be a drunk adult. We just don't know.
Well, currently, of course, we have a certification and licensing structure in place for larger commercial drones. We have a registration process in place for the very small commercial drones. So that side of it is regulated, and we know who are operating those drones, where they're operating and what tasks they're undertaking. Of course, what we don't currently have is any sort of registration or licensing system for recreational drones. Again, look, that's something I guess that the community and the politicians will want to debate and naturally find a position that everybody believes is best for the whole nation. As the regulator, again, we'll put in place whatever is needed to reflect political and community wishes.
Peter Gibson, spokesperson for the Civil Aviation Safety Authority. Now, as mentioned, there have been two parliamentary inquiries looking at drones. The main focus of the current Senate inquiry is whether or not the recent relaxation of regulations around commercial drones under 2 kilos is a good or a bad development. Brisbane-based lawyer Joseph Wheeler is head of the aviation practice with law firm Maurice Blackburn.
Prior to September last year, Australia had in place the oldest and most enduring drone regulation in the world. It was a leader in this area of regulation worldwide. One of the requirements that we had in place was for there to be licensing of commercial operators. So that meant there needed to be particular training. There needed to be particular experience requirements, documentary requirements, and tests so that the quality of commercial operator and their understanding of the risks of entering the aviation environment were understood and controlled. Come September, those safety requirements, those risk mitigators were removed for drones on the 2 kilogram and under category. What that essentially means is now a person of any age, of any experience or lack of experience, and any level or lack of aviation or aeronautical knowledge can enter the commercial arena with a drone they pick up off the shelf at a department store or toy store.
I think just a week or so ago, Queensland Senator Barry Sullivan said he feared a catastrophic accident might be possible if measures weren't introduced to, if you like, re-regulate this class. Do you agree with that possibility?
I would absolutely agree with that. In fact, in my work, I deal with pilots, I deal with passengers, but I deal with many in the aviation industry, and it's a very concerning present danger. I have heard many anecdotal reports from current Australian airline pilots talking about their experiences, their near misses, their evasive tactics to escape unidentified drones, or being informed by air traffic control that an unidentified drone is in their airspace and forcing them to move. And these are passenger carrying operations in Australia around major cities. So it's a present danger that will ripen into a disaster in due course.
So what kinds of rules and regulations would you like to see for both commercial and recreational users of drones?
Not being able to identify that drone is a huge issue. And one of the ways foreign jurisdictions have tried to deal with that is by registration. So the United States, since last year, requires every operator to have a form of registration on their small drone, allowing it to be identified. Regulators in Europe are considering the technological options that go along with that, and those are things that we would like to see in Australia as well. So if there's something like a SIM card or a technology like that that would allow the regulator or allow enforcement authorities to see in real time where drones were and that they were flying as they were authorized to do, whether the recreational, commercial or otherwise, be a positive step forward, especially if a drone like that was involved in an incident or an accident and it caused damage or harm to people and property.
Aviation lawyer Joseph Wheeler, who works with Maurice Blackburn. That's the Law Report for this week. A big thanks to producer Anita Barrow and also to technical producer this week, Tim Simons. I'm Damien Carrick. Talk to you next week with more law.